We know you have a lot of sucky broadcasts to choose from. So thank you for listening to this sucky broadcast. And now, here's Bradley Laborman.
Brody, are you going to be at my feet this whole time? What is going on? Hi, everybody. Welcome to this sucky broadcast. I am Bradley Laborman. I am your host. It is Wednesday, the 19th of July. I've got a spot on my shirt. You can only see that spot if you're watching me on Spotify. So that's ironic that the spot is on Spotify, I guess. I don't know what that is. I think it's just water or something. I don't care. It's one of those days, so I'm just going to leave it up there. Anyways, we got a wonderful, fantastic show. Lots of good stuff going on. I'm going to stop the music right now, and I'm going to say, let's bring on our guests. My guest today, I just brought on a friend today. I brought on a friend. He's a realtor. He's a realtor in Illinois. He's a realtor in Florida, and he is on the show today, and his friend is Ethan Degar. His name is Ethan Degar. Hi, what's up, Ethan?
Hey, guys. How's it going? How's it going, Brad, man? How you doing?
It's fantastic for me. How are you doing?
Doing well. Happy to be here.
That's good. I'm glad you could come in and be a part of the show today. I very much appreciate it. It's a very laid back show today, but I want to talk to you about real estate for a little bit, sort of, in a way. And I want to know because you're a little bit about yourself first. Let's do it that way. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm a realtor. I live in Skokie, Illinois. I'm licensed in Illinois and Florida. What do you want, Brad, man? The professional bio, a little bit of this?
Whatever you want. Fascinating stuff that you were went to culinary school and then...
Okay. Yeah, so I'll give you guys my journey in a nutshell. Yeah. So I went to culinary school once upon a time. I graduated from Kendall College out of Chicago in... It was probably 2017. I got my associates in French culinary, did an amazing internship over at Disney Orlando for culinary. I was in the restaurant world for a little bit, and I decided, you know, it's a lot of backbreaking work. Pay isn't so amazing. And I was also getting my bachelor's in business management, National Lewis University, also Chicago. And once I graduated, you know, I really wasn't sure what I was going to do. Started working with my aunt, Julie Kogan, over in Boca Raton, Florida. We were doing new construction, full gut renovations, but she was also a realtor. She's a realtor and a general contractor. So I learned the general contracting being with her, but I saw the back end of real estate deals, and I was, you know, dropping off earnest money checks at attorneys' offices and helping set up for open houses. So I just said, you know what, something I could see myself doing. And I went and got my license in Illinois about 3 months after I graduated National Lewis University in 2020.
Okay.
So I've been a realtor ever since then, about two years and three quarters about. And, you know, it's a full-time gig. I'm totally independent. You know, I'm with the brokerage Jamison Sotheby's, but generally I'm just an independent contractor, and you know, I love what I do. It's a great profession. It's not easy, but you know, you got to make your own schedule and be your own boss, and I like that. I'm helping my clients.
So, what does it take? What do you have to do to be a realtor? Like take classes, and then you have to take a test and.
So to actually become a realtor or is
yeah.
What do you actually, okay. So we'll start
with, what do you have to do to like, if you, someone's like, I want to become a realtor. What do you have to do?
Sure. So I know that there's a national test and a state test. Okay. I'm not sure about other states, but I know in Illinois, you have to do a pre-licensing course. So, you know, you pay them $500-$600. I did full-time 2 weeks in-person classes. I did mine in-person just because it was COVID, and I figured, okay, we'll sit however far apart they want us to sit, but I learned way better in person than
Right.
So did that for 2 weeks. After you pass their course, you have to pass their tests, the school's tests. Once you pass the school's tests, then you take the state and national test. Once you pass those, you actually have the license, but you're not an active realtor. You're a you're a broker. Then you choose a brokerage. The second you pass the test or take the class, you get a million postcards in the mail from different brokerages, and you know they're all hounding you to join them. And you know it's all real salesy. But you know you pick one for, and people pick things for different reasons. I grew up, my family's in real estate. I grew up around property management, construction management. So, you know, I joined Sotheby's, well, for two reasons. A guy who's my partner now, my family did construction with him back in the day. We built a skybox outside of Wrigley Field for him.
And, oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was a cool project 28 years ago when I was just a fetus. And,
and so it wasn't we, it was
It was my uncle and my mother.
Okay. Okay.
So my Jewish mother, of course, she goes, you need to call Michael, call Michael. So I call him up and he said, it's a great brokerage. Come join it. So I joined it and, you know, I partner with Michael on some deals, but I'm pretty much totally independent. Sotheby's is a great brokerage. And there's other brokerages that people join. People join teams if they don't feel they're ready to start out on their own. Some brokerages get more training, some get more marketing. So
I know a lot of people around the world who are realtors. And yes, I was a realtor too. And yes, I was baiting you. Hey, how many times did it take you to take your test to pass the thing?
Twice.
I did it once, but then I'm not a realtor anymore because I sucked at it. So anyways, but there we go. See, so there you go. I can admit that I suck at real estate. I just didn't have the patience. Too many people ghosting me. It drove me crazy.
Yeah.
Everybody tried. All my friends tried to help me, though. I mean, you were helping. You were like, here's some people. And you're like trying to like say, here's some leads for you and stuff like that. And I was like, nope, can't do it. I suck at this. So I ran away and just I appreciate everybody that did that. But and now I'm working on doing a teacher thing down here in Arlington. So that's good.
Nice.
In Texas in general. So, I mean, I'm interested in doing that. So but I do like I met a lot of, it seems like the common job for people that are in like acting and stuff like that is real estate. So a lot of these people that I know that are striking SAG right now are still selling homes. So they're still doing okay. But like, I mean like, who all is there? Redmond Parker. That's Ray Parker Jr.'s son. He's a realtor. I found out Tay Hasselhoff's a realtor. Harry Thornton, that's Billy Bob Thornton's son. He's a realtor. There's just a lot of different people that are that do real estate all over the place. My friend Janine, she doesn't necessarily do real estate, but she does. She manages short-term rentals or whatever they call Airbnbs now. She manages a bunch of those up in the north or whatever. And just all over the place. I just everybody's doing it, and I am okay with just not doing it. So I appreciate you for doing it. But I'm telling you right now, apparently in Texas, it's crazy to do it. Apparently, I have a cousin who just started real estate. My mom was like mentioning it to me. She goes, "Well, she just started. And she's got five clients." And I go, "Yes, because she's in small town Iowa, and those are all people I know. And if I was in small town Iowa, then I would have been able to do the same thing. But I was in Chicago and whatever." So there we go. I'm not bitter at all. I'm good. No, I'm just kidding. No, I know that no matter how I said that, that just made it seem like I was bitter. So you know what's going to make me unbitter though? I'm going to drop a sponsor first. Me to do that? Let's do that. The Brass Tap offers over 150 craft beers from around the globe in an upscale neighborhood bar atmosphere. Pay attention to this, Ethan. So when you come visit me in DFW, we can go here to several locations. They carry almost every craft beer from almost all of the Texas breweries, from Rollertown Brew Works, which is an amazing place, to Tups and Peticola's Brewing. And you can always count on them to deliver craft beers you're looking for. They also carry craft beers from other states and even craft beers brewed by monks from overseas. They offer weekly events like with pint nights, music bingo every Wednesday at 7 p.m., family feud, and theme trivia every Thursday at 7 p.m., and a new live local band artist every Saturday night, and maybe even comedy coming up. Who knows? I heard a rumor. They also offer one of the longest running happy hours in the DFW area with select $5 draft discounted shots, $6 wines, $5 drafts discounted shots, $6 wines, $7 drinks of the weeks, along with food specials under $10. And you can enjoy sporting events and any other large screens, covered patios that are dog friendly, and also venues for special events, which are listed on Facebook, such as car shows, bike nights, and all other sorts of things. Not every Brass Tap sponsors us, though. I just want to be clear. I'm working on all the Brass Taps. Listen to me right now. Brass Taps. All Brass Taps. I would like all the Brass Taps in the DFW area to sponsor this show. But for right now, the ones that sponsor us are Alan, Prosper, Sashi, Richardson, and Frisco. And Richardson and Frisco also feature Old World Pizza made to order. You can only get that pizza at the Richardson and Frisco locations. And guests are raving about it. And any guest who goes to any of those five locations and mentions this Sucky Broadcast can choose one free appetizer of their choice. Just mention the podcast and pick one that you want, and it's on the house. And that's the Brass Tap in DFW. Five locations. More to come. I'm going to clip this segment. I'm going to put it on the internet, and I'm going to be like, come on, other Brass Taps. Where you at? So they're all a-coming. I can feel it.
So I took two things away from that.
Yes. What do you got to take away from that?
One thing was, it's not really a takeaway, but it's a question. The first one, what's your favorite appetizer there? What do they got over there at Brass Taps?
They have so many different things. I've been all over the place.
It's all good.
It's all good.
Okay. And then the thing that really stuck with me, beer brewed by monks out of the country. That's interesting.
Yeah, I've never had that. I always read about it, and then when I'm there, I never have it. Well, I have Roller Town. I drink Roller Town. Roller Town's a brewery that is was invested in by these two guys that are also radio guys that I listen to the radio show all the time. And Roller Town beer is awesome.
Are there a lot of breweries in the
lots of different breweries. And the thing is, and I don't know if this is the case in Chicago. Because in Chicago, there was a Skokie Sketchbook, was the one we went to a lot.
Yep.
We frequent that one a lot. But, and I love that one. And that's why I feel great about all these different ones that I'm hanging out with now. But they don't talk bad about each other. In Texas, there's like breweries and barbecues and places like different places are like, yeah, I'm a barbecue place. I'm a barbecue place. I'll go to the other person's barbecue place to eat barbecue. I'll hang out. Like, we'll talk about each other's barbecue places and we'll all promote each other barbecue place wise. Same thing with breweries. All the breweries, it's like on National Beer Day, the guys that invest in Roller Town had other breweries call into the radio station and say, here's the specials we're having for this weekend for, I don't know if it was for the National Beer Weekend or if it was like a Memorial Day weekend or something, but they let them promote every place else. I thought it was pretty cool. So everybody loves each other.
Well, you know, and I mean, you see a lot of industries that's hard to find. I think like my industry, I think like maybe the newer, not just the newer agents, but people in this time, a little bit less like it, but I feel like there was a lot more, secret keeping and just ill will competition. I think these newer generations, they're more collaborative and it's more, you know, good vibes rather than cutthroat.
So, yeah. No, I agree with you on that. I do agree with you on that. So
it's nice.
Yeah. I agree. You want to talk about some news that's going around the area? I have like so much stuff that I want to talk about.
What's going on?
So many different things that I want to talk about. Okay, I'll let you pick. Okay. We can either talk about a news story or I can talk about these shoes that I offered to help this girl sell.
Hmm. Check out these shoes.
Okay. I knew you were going to say that. So here's the story. Here's the tale as old as time. So individual buys shoes for this guy. Guy cheats on her. Guy is no longer in her life. She wants to get rid of the shoes because she, you know, it was a bad investment. Okay. So could take them back, but she got a lot of them in Beverly Hills, I think, or different places like around the world or whatever. Okay. So, and I'm not really a shoe guy. So I'm kind of blown away by the prices on some of these shoes and how they look or whatever, but allow me to show you.
So it's these specific pairs that are being sold off, not these, like
these specific pairs.
Okay.
Okay. The first pair is
Louis Vuitton.
Louis Vuitton. And let me.
These are real deal.
Yes, these are real deal. Okay.
Okay.
I got to take off this thing, and then I have to pull out this magical, like, I don't know how to do this. Like this. Here we go.
Got to get Brody to help.
Okay. Now here's the thing about the Louis Vuittons. Okay. Each one is in its own bag.
Wow.
That's right?
Class. And yeah. What's the material? What's the quality? What's the hand feel of the bag?
The hand feel, it's like a canvas muslin feel.
Okay. Lightly worn.
Very lightly worn.
Was there?
I think very lightly worn. And like, because that isn't dirt. That's like Louis Vuitton symbols.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can see it in the light or whatever, but.
I can.
Yeah.
Those are pretty cool.
So.
What's the sticker price?
I don't know. Is there a sticker price in here? Let me look. Here's the official.
Are those men's shoes, women's shoes?
Oh, no, no, wait. These are laces. These are extra laces in this.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was going to be like a plaque or something, but it was extra laces. These are men's shoes. Oh, do you want to know what size they are? Do you want to know what size they are?
Let's see.
I think they're your size, Ethan.
Oh, I doubt that.
10?
Yeah, I'm a 14. I can't find shoes anywhere.
Oh no, there's others that are bigger. I got a pair that I wear once in a while randomly. Not really once in a while, like once I wore them once to try them on.
And what's your friend trying to sell those for?
I think she just wants to get her money back or get as much as she can back for them. So, but I think the Louis Vuittons were So here's the other pair of Versaces. So these are the Versaces. They've got little statues on the bottom.
Yeah.
I got a pink pair that doesn't have a box, so she didn't know if she can sell them. I basically get them if I help her out. They're so
a little Russian Miami-ish, but you know, I would rock them for sure.
Yeah, because they're very like, yeah.
I would wear those over the other ones.
Okay, well, these are. Is there a price on these? I don't know. How come I thought there was prices on all these? I don't know. She's got the prices somewhere. So, next. I can pronounce this one. Let's do this one. The Dior's. I think the Versace's are the. I mean, not the Versace's. Oh, no. The Dior's are in a bag, too.
But not their own.
But not their own. I haven't even looked at these, to be honest with you. Wait, what's this?
This is a whole new world for me and for you.
Oh, this is a receipt. Now I can tell you how much they are. I think these are receipts. Oh, yeah, this is a receipt. Ready?
I'm ready.
These were.
This is for the Dior's?
Ready? These are how much these were.
Okay.
$1,423 and 50 cents.
Wow.
So if anybody's listening to this cast, I'm sure you can get a good deal on these.
Yeah.
Let me show you one. I think
$1,400 for a pair of shoes.
So if you don't want to see what these look like, you're going to go to Spotify to look at them. These are nice. These are never been worn.
But are they $1,400 nice?
You know, I'm not really a big spender guy, but because I wore a pair of the Versaces.
Sure.
I think the Versaces are like $800 or something like that. I wore a pair of those and I put them on. I was like, oh, these are, it was the purple, it was the pink ones. Don't have a home. Now here, this is something that's in your range. This is the one that will.
These Alexander
McQueens will sell you
okay
a home. You'll put these on and you'll sell a home, okay? So these are $330.
Okay.
These are very, very clean. And they look like this.
Let's see that back part. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, right.
Does that color change or?
Well, I think it's in the light. It looks blue and purple and whatever. Yeah. And over here, it looks like metallic-y or whatever. I don't know if it's reflecting the screen or reflecting what.
Yeah, it looks like that metal finish that's
red. It says Alexander McQueen in them. Wait, are these really? What size are these? I don't know what size these are. 7 and they're in weird like 7 3/8 in weird Italian sizes.
Oh, 3/8. That's Italian?
I don't know what that is. No, 3/8 wouldn't be Italian. I know what you're
picking up.
Anyways, I have those shoes. I offered to help them out, and I'll probably post those on TikTok or some other places too and talk about them. But they are shoes I'm helping somebody sell. And if anybody's interested, please hit me up.
You want me to rate them?
Yeah, tell me what you think of them. I'm interested to know.
I like the Dior's the most. The Dior's I would wear. I like those the most.
Okay.
And I thought that they had a clean look, nice style. I'm probably number two going with the Louis Vuittons. The contrasting colors, the black and white,
yeah,
it's nice, but maybe for my style, it's a little bit too sporty.
Yeah.
But I like it.
I don't see any of these as sporty. That's what's weird about it.
Maybe I'm using the wrong word. I don't want to use flashy. It's not that. It's, I don't know.
I mean, if I buy a pair of those, I'm going to go pick up basketball game or I'm going out and play some pickleball. No, that's not going
to
happen.
No, you're going out to an event and then going to go home.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And the last pair, I thought the colors were cool. But you know, I thought that they were, I didn't not like them, but they were my least favorite of the three.
Which ones?
The last
Alexander McQueen's.
Yeah. The McQueen's great name. Strong name, but you know, wasn't my favorite of the three.
Oh, there you go. That was a segment I've been wanting to do for a while because I've had those shoes for a while. That segment's called Please Don't Rob Me. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm moving them, so it doesn't matter to me. I was just saying this is the last thing I'm gonna have at my place, so it wasn't a big deal. So, that segment's called Please Don't Murder Me. Plus, you'd have to be like really bad to be that specific size or whatever. So,
yeah,
it is funny though that those shoes, those one shoes that I pulled out that had the price tag on them, are more than my rent.
Yeah, that's a lot. $1,400 is a lot for a pair of shoes.
Right. Like I'm in the process, and that's as much as like Warner Brothers Music wants the rights for a certain song that I'm using for Bradman the movie that I'm sitting around waiting for because. I'm waiting for Warner Brothers Music to be like, yes, here you go. You can have the rights. It's very frustrating.
What, they're just, they just drag their feet? Corporate bullshit?
Yeah, but I can't, I don't want to say that because I don't want them to be like, oh, this guy's an asshole. We're not going to give him the rights now. So
it's just taking longer than you would like. I got you.
Taking longer than, it's taking longer than I can, than I would like, and I'm used to it. So it's fine. It's fine. You know me. You know me. All right, let's go on to other stories real quick. Let's go on because I really want to talk about, because I said this name and you were like, who? And so now I want to know, do you not know anything about this woman, Carly Russell?
No, I don't think so, at least.
Carly Russell. Carly Russell. Sorry, I just read this article and somebody came up with something. Carly Russell was a woman in Alabama, Hoover, Alabama, who called her family and said, there is a toddler on the side of the road. I'm going to go check it out. And then her family heard a scuffle and then she was gone. And it got on TikTok and her brother and her, all these people were on TikTok going, my sister Carly or my daughter Carly, she's been kidnapped and we don't know where she is. And there was this involved. And it was a 24-hour TikTok, Instagram. Everybody was talking about it. And then all of a sudden, like Monday morning or Sunday night, she just showed up at home. And they took her to the hospital to get checked out. And then people started saying, this isn't real. There's something fishy about this whole thing. And then a bunch of people started saying, shut up, you white guy. You're racist. Why can't you believe this really happened? And I'm just like, I don't know, because it doesn't seem like it really happened. Because a long time ago, you were too young for this, but a long time ago, I was doing a radio show, and this woman, this guy was got on the news and said, my wife, my fiance was kidnapped by Mexican men or something like that. That's what she said, or something like that. These group of Mexicans kidnapped my wife. And then and then he was saying everything, and I was like, that didn't happen. She got cold feet and she ran off. And then several days later, she was referred to as the runaway bride because she had spent all this money trying to find her.
Yeah.
And then it showed she showed up and she was just like, no, I got cold feet. And I was sleeping with this other guy.
You have a history of calling it.
And I have a history of calling it. And the moment the toddler thing happened, I was like, this isn't real. There's no way this is real. This doesn't make any sense. You see a kid on the side of the road? Because then the thing was, when she showed up,
where's the
everybody
kid?
Yeah, everybody was like, well, where's the kid? Where's the kid? There was no kid. It was all made up. And then I'm reading new stuff and stuff came up, but apparently Carly went to Target before she got kidnapped. She went to Target and picked up a bunch of snack food.
Oh,
and okay. Then the snack, like her wig. See, the thing was, when they went missing, her wig was in the car. Like they found her wig, and I think she did that to be like, oh well, if she didn't have her wig, then clearly she's been kidnapped. That's the only possible situation. Is that if her weave's gone, that must be the case. And but the snacks weren't there, and they were like, well, she bought these snacks, and then the snacks weren't there. And then
it's like Jussie Smollett. He brought his Subway sandwich with.
Yeah, right. So then, I just read this. Hold on. Apparently, she Googled. On Monday, Crime Stoppers of Metro Alabama announced that they were refunding its donors the $63,378 in reward money for information leading to Russell's safe return. However, it reversed course, saying the statement, the investigation is still ongoing, and accordingly, there is no basis to refund any contributions at this time. Well, the Hoover Police Department made some money off the deal. But she apparently... Okay, this is what she says happened. This is what she says happened.
Okay.
I have not read this. Okay, so please bear with me because I've not read this. says in her statement to detectives that Russell stated that she was checking on the child. A man came out of the trees, picked her up, and forced her over a fence and then into a car. She described the man as having orange hair with a bald spot on the back. After being held in an 18-wheeler with the man and the woman, Russell escaped but was recaptured. She allegedly said she was blindfolded but not tied up to avoid leaving impressions on her wrists. Later, they took her to her house, forced her to undress. They took pictures of her, but she did not remember being physically or sexually assaulted. Dervis said Russell told police. Okay. She remembered the woman feeding her crackers and playing with her hair, but nothing else. But she didn't have any hair because she left her wig at home. Let me try to add some hair there. She said that she was later able to escape again, ran through the woods, and came out near her home.
How convenient.
Detectives noted in their interview that Russell had $170 in one of her socks.
Okay. That's a lot of money.
That they didn't take?
Yeah.
They didn't take off her socks or anything like that? In retracing her steps the day she disappeared, said that surveillance footage from her employer showed that Russell concealed a dark-colored bathrobe, toilet paper, and other items belonging to the business before she left work. She then bought snacks from Target, none of which were found in or near her car. The police chief read the internet searches relevant to the case. So her internet searches were, which he said were made on Russell's cell phone in the days leading up to the disappearance, including questions about Amber Alerts, how to take money from a register without being caught, Birmingham bus station, and the movie Taken.
Okay.
Which is a film about abduction. She also allegedly searched for a one-way bus ticket from Birmingham to Nashville, departing on the day she disappeared. And Dervis said that the Dervis, I don't know if it's the name of the person, right, said that the investigators discovered other searches on Russell's phones that appeared to shed light on some of her mindset, but they will not be shared publicly. I heard a rumor that she was fighting with her boyfriend. That was another thing that was happening. And this was really something to get back at her boyfriend. And then it blew up. Now, which theory do you like? Do you like the theory that she did this because she wanted to get attention? Or do you have the theory that she made it up to get back at her boyfriend and then everything got out of control?
Well, attention, or did she take money? Did she take stuff from her work?
Yeah, she apparently took stuff from her work, is what they're saying on the surveillance cameras. That said she took money out of the register.
So I don't think it's either. What I think is she tried, based on the evidence. Let me predicate it with that before I get dragged. I think that she probably wanted to steal stuff from work and then make it look like she was kidnapped and disappear for a little bit. And
that's why she had the robe, because I guarantee, here's what happened. She got rid of her clothes. She threw on the robe. She left her clothes somewhere that nobody could find them. She got close enough to where she was going to be coming home. She got rid of the robe, and then she's in her underwear or whatever. And then she goes the rest of the way to her house, which conveniently the people that kidnapped her didn't live that far away from where she lived. Like just on the other side of the woods. And the woods were just the dividing them.
Yeah. And then was she able to find the house after the fact? This is where I was kidnapped, or?
Yeah, that's because I would think that if you left the house and you were able to be like, well, I know exactly where I'm at, then you should be able to go back. And then when the guy answers the door and they're like, have you seen this person? It's a guy with orange hair with a bald spot. He's like, wait a minute, was she a really fat lady? That wasn't what was going on. But that, I was just thinking of like Buffalo Bill from like Silence of the Lambs. Where he's like, oh, wait a minute. was that woman like, where she's like, have you seen this girl or this girl's been missing or whatever? He's like, no, I haven't. Wait a minute. She's a really fat lady. And then it's just such a good movie. I'm not, by the way, I'm not saying Carly Russell's fat in any way. I'm just saying I was making a Silence of the Lambs reference. Because that's what it started to sound like, because that's what the case is. But clearly, the point of the matter is, what she fails to mention in any of the stuff is after the people kidnap her, where's the kid? Does she hear the kid wasn't in the truck with them?
And are they on TikTok still? Are they explaining what happened now?
I have no idea, but please go check it out. I mean, I heard earlier that it had come out, like there was going to be a press conference, because I heard a show that was pre-recorded, and they're like, later today is going to be a press conference. And I was like, oh, that already happened. So I looked it up, and that's where I'm getting caught up to speed. But it is just, it's just insane. Well, I mean, the number one thing for me is, first off, if you said that, there's so much stuff that like blows holes in her story. If the guy's in an 18-wheeler and then they took her to a house that was also nearby her parents' house, uh-huh. Then why are they just going around looking for the guy with the 18-wheeler parked in front of his house?
Yeah.
With his backyards in the woods, apparently. His backyards lead into the woods that go to the other side of the woods that go to Carly's parents' house or wherever she was at. I just like... My thing about this is, and the reason why I feel semi-justified about this or whatever, or glorified or whatever the term I'm saying is I got on and I was like, this isn't real. And people were like, shut up, you racist. And I was like, what? How am I a racist? Why just not thinking this is real, you know?
Did you go back and say, I told you so? Or?
Oh, yeah, I did. I did. Everybody was like, all these people dragging me because I said this was a lie, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't care about the dragon. I just want the people that call me a racist to say, sorry, you're not a racist. Because there wasn't, you know.
Well, it's the easiest way to just shut you up move. It's just,
yeah, oh, it really
you know,
is.
Oh, you're racist.
Yeah, it really is. Don't these people know, I'm going to say this on my podcast. I've said this numerous times. Don't you people know that I am the great, great, grandson of former slaves. I
didn't know that.
Yes, I am. Oh, you didn't know that?
No.
My father, my biological father, who I didn't really care a lot about, my grandmother, my biological grandmother, was a hooray in
what's
terms.
A, what's a hooray?
Whore.
Oh,
and anyways, she would go down to the train station and fool around with guys, apparently, is what I heard from the olden days. And I found out later in life that my biological grandfather isn't my grandfather, my biological grandfather, because he just adopted my father when he was when he was born, because they didn't know who the father was. And there's all these different rumors about who the father was. And one of the rumors was it was a rich black man, and that one turned out to be the true one.
Have you had a DNA test?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I had a DNA test. Mm-hmm. My brother had a DNA test, and I did 23andMe. He did something else, and then we joined some heritage website where you can upload your results,
yeah.
And then people can upload from different DNA things, and then it matches everybody together. And then, yeah, all of a sudden, he matched with somebody. And he sent me a bunch of pictures, and he sent me like stuff that said, you know, all the terminology I can't say today, like on the census bureaus or whatever. So mixed race, N-word stuff that was written on the stuff back in the day. So anyways, it was very interesting to see. And so there you go. But also, the key is mixed race, which means that love overcame racism. So I am here because love overcame racism.
There you go.
There you go. Why did I become mayor of Chicago? I don't know. Anyway,
I don't know.
I don't know either. Okay. Anyways, so I'm the people's mayor. That's what I am. Yeah. Anyways, so other story I want to talk about. Oh, no. Let me give a sponsor shout out real quick. I want to talk about McKinney Black Car. Ride in style with McKinney Black Car, a family owned business based in McKinney, Frisco, and Arlington. Ethan, when you show up at the airport, I'll pick you up with a limo. Offering luxury. Actually, we'll get a party bus and we'll take a bunch of people around. That's what we'll do. Offering luxury transportation services for events, concerts, and airport rides in the DFW area. Options include black cars, party buses, stretch limousines, and much more. Reach out to Nathan. He's the owner. To book McKinney Black Car, 469-469-5452. I am sorry. 469-469-5452. They have 5-star Google ratings. Also, when you reach out and you say, hey, I want to get a ride. And by the way, sucky, $50 off their hourly booking. $50 off their hourly booking if you say the code word sucky. Check them out. In other news, because I want to talk about this. Flana Holmes is a Florida woman who sued McDonald's because she was going through the drive-thru with her son, and her daughter was, I believe, 4 at the time, and they bought Happy Meals, and she handed the Happy Meal back to her daughter, and then at some point, her daughter started screaming, and then what had happened was her daughter had dropped a chicken nugget on her thigh, and it gave her second-degree burns because it was apparently a red-hot, flaming, like cartoon, you know, when they have the rivets in cartoons, it was like that hot of a chicken nugget, and it burned the girl's leg. They sued McDonald's for $15 million.
It's a lot of money.
How much do you think they got?
$2 million. I don't know.
$800,000. I appreciate it because I told you this story earlier before we started the show, and you could have cheated and said the right answer, but I'm proud of you for just like making up a guess. I'm proud of you. Proud of you for playing along with the game. Thanks. No, it was $800,000, which I don't care.
$800,000.
Yeah. Wonderful. It's to me, this is a lot like, and good for them because don't make chicken nuggets so hot, McDonald's.
Oh, how much did the attorneys get too? I mean,
yeah, that's true too. That is true too. They don't tell me that stuff in here, but they don't tell you. Oh, I forgot. I have another story I'm going to tell you. I'll tell you that in a second. So, anyways, I don't know. Did you have the Grimace Shake when it was in town?
No, you know, so good. It just looked, a little funky, a little purple shake.
Well, I thought I was like, isn't this just a strawberry shake? I thought it was a strawberry shake. And then it turned out that it was because people started making it on TikTok and they're like ice cream, milk, blueberries, and raspberries. And I was like, oh, well, that tastes pretty good.
And it was fruited.
I thought it was strawberry. That's what I'm saying. I thought it was some sort of berry. I thought, well, maybe it's strawberry and blueberries. But it was raspberry and blueberries.
I figured it would have just been sugary if I knew it was.
I got it. Yes, you know, I got it because I'm not supposed to have sugar. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to get this and whatever, I'll get it. I'm just going to get it and it'll be a one-time thing and I won't eat. I'll drink a lot of water later on. I'll be fine. I got it. It wasn't that bad. It was good.
No regrets.
And then I was like, what are these kids? Why are these kids ruining this by doing these TikTok videos where they're all dying?
I saw those.
This is a good product. They should have it year-round. Like, why do they get rid of strawberry Frosties? They should just have strawberry Frosties all the time. That would be the greatest thing in the world. Is if they had strawberry Frosties.
What about the McRib, which I think is kind of mediocre?
I don't like the McRib at all. You can go to any gas station and get a McRib, hypothetically. Yeah. It's the same thing.
People get so excited.
I don't understand why people get so excited. Well, I worked at McDonald's when I was in high school. I worked at McDonald's for a really long time. I worked at in high school, and then I think I transferred over in college. And then the one I transferred to in college was a shithole compared to the one I worked in high school. So I left. I was like, I don't work anymore. And I went back and I worked at McDonald's one summer. I came back and I said, I don't want to work at the one that you transferred me to because it's shitty. He goes, that'll happen sometimes. Like it says, like rated top McDonald's in the area, 1984. Yeah. And you're like, well, it's since it's 1993 right now. That's that says a lot.
So you said you worked at McDonald's for a long time. How long is a long time?
I mean, a long time in the idea that I worked there. Like, they built – I'm from Mount Pleasant, Iowa, and I – they built McDonald's. And we trained in another city because there wasn't a McDonald's to train at. So we trained in another city, and then we started at McDonald's. Like, I interviewed at a hotel. I remember that, too. Interviewed at a hotel, went to a different McDonald's to train, came to this McDonald's, and then it was I think I was there most of my high school, and then I did, like, break and stuff like that. And, yeah, and a lot of my early romantic experiences – we're from
with coworkers. McDonald's.
Yeah, except for this one. I don't have a problem telling this story either. I had a redheaded Southern manager, and I was 17, 16 at the time. I was goofy. The best example I can give, I always wanted to have big glasses, and I had really thick black hair. The best, and I was gangly. The best thing I can tell you is, wait. That's when he's honking. That's weird. The best thing I can tell you is I looked like Christopher Reeve from Superman. Like, that's what I'm going to say. And I stand by that. I look like Christopher Reeve. I look like a big, nerdy Christopher Reeve kid. And I was like 16, 17. And this like 25-year-old Southern redhead hot coworker was just determined to like take my V card or whatever. Like, that was determined. Like, it was like out of a movie or whatever. And I was just not having it because she got pregnant by her husband. So she was pregnant, which felt really weird. But there was one time I was in the freezer.
Okay.
In the back room. And she like pushed me up with her pregnant stomach and like grab my junk. And I'm telling you, because when I tell people this, I was sexually assaulted. I was sexually assaulted.
Yeah.
Like, right. Now when people explain it, that like around the Me Too movement, when I started hearing stories, I was wait, me that's too. What happened to me. I was sexually assaulted. And they're like, yeah, that can happen to guys. I mean, I'm laughing because I'm uncomfortable telling the story because it's just so off the wall that it would happen to me. But I ran in, like, I went to the break room. I told my friends what happened, and they were just like, cool, man, that's awesome. Like, and I was just like, that, but it wasn't that often.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I came home, and I think I said something to my mom about it, but she blew it off. Like, everybody blew it off because I'm a boy, and why would I be offended by that or whatever? It was just weird. And then
it was just like, oh, good for you, honey.
Yeah, there you go. There you are. Then whatever. And then I took, and then the other manager, female manager, knew I had an issue, and she went, and then the woman got demoted, and then she came in, and this is another thing that just nobody cared. That she came in, she goes, do you really think I would risk my job doing something stupid? Doing something stupid is implying that I'm stupid, and she was doing me like that. Like, that's what she said, like, in the break room in front of like five people. She came in and got in my face and said this and then left, and I was just like, Jesus. And now I look back on that, I'm like, Nobody, she should have been like terminated after that.
Oh, you're a man. No one gives a shit.
Right. That was like late 90s, early 90s.
And she was smart because there's no cameras in the freezer.
She was smart. Well, there was also the 90s, and I don't think there's any cameras anywhere, really, to be honest with you. They didn't have cameras in the break room, but yeah, she was smart. She's smart. I don't know where she is now. I don't remember her last name. I think it's all blocked out of my head. I never thought of looking her up on Facebook and being like, hey, when you tried to rape me when you were pregnant, like stuff like that, because it's just like, it just blows my mind. But I just needed to share that story out loud. So I just shared that story out loud. You're like, what did I get into tonight when I said I would do
that? That's a good story.
Yeah. I do the broadcast. So you ever had that happen to you? You ever had somebody that was like very inappropriate and you're like, because I've had it a couple times.
Not a coworker. I was groped at a club once in Chicago. Just someone walking past and grope me, and I was what? And she walked away and left the place. But that was about it. Never a coworker. I did have my first job, Baker Square. I had a manager tell me they wanted to hit me over the head. He said, if you ever screw up a pie order again, I'm going to hit you over the head. And then he said after that, although you'd kick my ass. I was like,
oh, okay.
17, but he was serious about it. I mean, he was pissed off. But no, nothing like your story. Never like a manager coming in a predatory way and cornering.
Yeah, oh my God. Now when you say it, then it feels even weirder.
The position, she has the position of power over you.
Yeah. Too. When you say the story, I'm like, oh wait, I had a girl. I shouldn't tell this story. I do want to tell this story. My roommates love this story. My roommates from college love this story because I met a girl in summer of 95. Okay. And in the summer in college, I would just hang out in the summer, and I worked for the college. And if you worked for the college, you got free housing. So I worked for the college. I did this thing called I was a conferencing assistant, because in the summer they would do conferences on campus, and you would just go make the beds like it was a hotel, and you got to live there for free. And so my other friends were there, and they were able to stay in town, so they were living on campus too, and so we were all hanging out. And I met this girl online, and this was back before we had like phones that could send pictures back and forth to each other, or emails that actually could send pictures back and forth. So she like sent me a photo of herself in the mail, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, she's cute, whatever, right? So I went to pick her up. She lived in Sioux City. I was in Storm Lake, Iowa. It's like a 40-minute drive. Went to pick her up. It was dark. Got her. Came back to my place. And then when the lights hit, I was like, I do not know what year that picture came from, but this is not an accurate picture of you or whatever like that. And it's very frustrating. And so I kind of just was like, you know, I got a headache. I'll take you home. So I took her back to – I drove her all the way back and then whatever. And then she showed up. We were playing card games, and all of a sudden there's a knock on my dorm room door like a couple days later. And she's there, and all my roommates just chicken shits that they are just scattered. I mean, all my friends just scattered out of the room. Like, oh, yeah, someplace we got to be goodbye. So I'm there with her, and I'm just like, I don't think this is going to work out. It's kind of weird that you just showed up at my house and whatever. You just want to – or showed up at my dorm room and just want to, like, whatever. And she's like, are you kidding me? I want to give myself to you and all stuff. I'm like, no, I'm okay. I'm good. I'm really not interested in this or whatever. And then she
– how did she know you?
This is really going to date me. Like, you're not even going to know what this is. We met on this thing called ISCA.
Okay.
ISCA was like a bulletin board before AIM existed.
Yeah.
It was based out of the University of Iowa, too. The University of Iowa invented it. It was all around the country. And it was this thing where you could, like, talk to people. Mm-hmm. But it was before Instant Messenger and all that other stuff existed. So, and then we conversed over letters back and forth through the post office.
Okay.
Yes, those were the old days, my friend, before email. And then she picked up a pair of scissors and threw them at me. I ran away. I went to my friend's dorm room, and we hung out there. And I think she's gone. It's like, oh crap, she knows what my car looks like. Maybe she did something to my car. So I run downstairs to look for my car. It's still there. I'm like, oh phew, it's fine. I turn around, and she's behind me. And when my friends tell the story, lightning strikes at that moment.
Yeah.
And then she says, this is what she really says. She goes, what's the matter, Brad? Did you think I was going to do something to your car? And I was like, no, you're crazy. And then I ran and lost her and went back to my friend's dorm room and hung out. And then we left and waited for her to be gone. Then she was gone. And then we all went to breakfast. And then we all went back to my apartment, my dorm room that had air conditioning. We put a blanket over the window and we slept all day because it was a long night. And that was a good story. It was a good story. We all had good breakfast, and that was a good story. Anyways, that was just another time where it's this crazy I had a lot of crazy girl experiences in college. And it's probably my fault. I was probably a gaslighter or something like that. I was a bad person back then. So it was probably all me. Or they were just legitimately crazy people.
Could be a good mixture too.
Yeah, I think it's like I'm a stimulant sort of thing. Like my behavior is sort of like added to the mix or whatever. So I just know I like to start fights with people, I guess, apparently. That leads to my biggest story of the night. I was on TikTok last night because I've been talking about a movie, and we don't have to talk about the movie because I know it's controversial, but I've been talking about this movie, Sound of Freedom. And so this guy got on and he was talking about how child trafficking doesn't exist or whatever like that. And he's on TikTok. So I said, as a joke, he's like got his camera like over to the side. And I said, why do you have your camera angle like that? Is it so nobody can see the kids that are chained up in your kitchen? And that's what I said. So the guy takes my comment, gets on TikTok and goes, hey, listen, man, let me tell you a little story. I got thousands of dollars in video equipment. I got eight degrees, blah, blah, blah. He's like, show me degrees on his wall. And he's like, I'm rich, man. And I live in McKinney, Texas. And I will come. I have so much money. And I own a gym. Or I work for a fight. I work. Oh, somebody's got a phone call.
Swore I turned that off.
I told him very nicely not to do that.
Did my best.
And he's like, I live in McKinney, Texas, and I have a lot of money, and I'll fly you here, and I have a fight league, and I'll put you through the fight league, and then we can fight each other, or you can fight somebody else, but whatever, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, and at this point, I'm like, dude, I live in Arlington. We're right next to each other. I can just come show up, and we can fight. Or I could just buy you a ticket, and you could go see the movie with me and actually watch the movie and review the movie before you just make up stuff about the movie. That's all I wanted to do. And I'm like, I can show you all my expensive video equipment and all my degrees and all this other stuff that I have. But no, dude, I don't care. But if you desperately want to fight, let me know. I'll show up in McKinney. You don't have to pay for me to go through any league or whatever because I used to hang out with. What?
You're already in Texas.
Yeah, I'm already there. I'm already here. You don't have to like train me to fight. I used to hang out with MMA fighters. It's fine. I know what the hell I'm doing. I can handle it. It's all good. And then I was like, let's go, let's go, let's go. And so then the guy, I posted his, he wouldn't let me duet his story. That was the other thing. I was like, well, if you're so brave, why can't I duet this story so I can tell right here that you did this? It was great. I got a lot of posts. And I was like, if you want followers off of this, sure. We can fight so you can take some of my followers. That's fine, dude. It's great. You can have a good time. It's good. Because I have like three times some of these followers here. That's fine. I can do this for you. It's great. And then he I share his story and some other stuff, and then I get a notification saying, your story got kicked off because of whatever. And I go, oh, he must have reported me. No, the guy got kicked off. He got kicked off for threatening to fight me, and I didn't report it. TikTok. Yeah. He got kicked off TikTok for trying to fight me. I wasn't and even said in the go ahead and report me. I don't care. And I was like, I'm not gonna report you, I don't care. I wanna fight. That's awesome. This would be great content. And then but then I went through and I was trying to find him. Did he block me or did he get kicked off? He got kicked off. But then I saw there was like five other people where he made the same threat to. And I was like,
over the same post?
Yeah. I was like, what? No, I'm over different posts. He'd go on to other people's posts and be like, he'd be like, yeah, come to, I'll fly you to McKinney, Texas. I'll fight you. And I'd be like, what a whore. I was like, I thought that was like special to me. I didn't realize I was like one, a dime a dozen guy that he was just offering to fly to McKinney.
This is his MO.
Yeah, yeah. And I was just like, dude, I feel betrayed. I feel like, what? And then I went off on a whole video tangent about how I felt betrayed about how this guy like cheated on me with all these other guys that he tried to fight or whatever. I got a ton of content out of the deal. He posted one video. I got so much content out of the deal. It was just, yeah. And then even today, I posted something completely different, and they were like, I'm so sad that fight in McKinney didn't happen. Like, people are commenting about the fight in McKinney that didn't happen. It was, yeah, it was a very interesting time. I apparently have a good following on TikTok.
Are you on there a lot? You post a lot?
I do get on there once in a while, and I post stuff. I'll probably post a segment from this show. I'll probably post this segment from this show. I'll probably clip this thing. I'm going to clip a lot of stuff from this show tonight. I think so. Okay. So it'll be a lot of stuff. So good luck with your career, because all this stuff's going to go out. No, I'm just no, I'm kidding. I have a friend who is a very successful, because I used to do a public access show a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
And I have a friend who's extremely successful, who desperately wanted to go on my show when he was younger. And I said, you can come on my show, but we're going to tie you up and I'm going to have girls in underwear tickle you until you pee your pants. And he did it. And it was a great show. It's like, that's the kind of stuff I had on my public access show. It was this horrible, funny stuff like that. It was great stuff. And now he's like really, really, really well off. And I'm just like, I still have that tape. I still have the episode in a box of all the episodes I have. Because I had one episode where these two girls wrestled in Lucky Charms for St. Patrick's Day.
How many boxes does it take?
I think we ended up ordering from Malta Meal, and we had them send us Marginal Mateys or whatever, like the generic ones. But they sent us like a bunch of it. Like we got a ton of it, and they sent it to us so we could dump it in a swimming pool and whatever. I'm still good at that. I'm still good at like getting stuff.
But it was just like all your public broadcast shows. You have the tapes.
I still have those.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
They're like super digital, so you'd have to have a special thing to see them. But there's some stuff that's still up on the web that I've posted. I do that once in a while. I post a random video. But this father reached out to me and said, hey, she's going to be in the Olympics, and I really need that. Can you take that video down? I was like, yeah, I'm never going to mess with some girl's chance to be a part of the Olympics. So
what was supposed to be taken down?
The Lucky Charm. Lucky Charm wrestler. She was Lucky Charm wrestling, and she ended up being in the U.S. Olympics. So there you go. I got rid of completely. There was a lot of interesting ones. There's one where I broke up with a girl on the air.
Yeah,
and because there was a girl. We were having relations and we were like together, and I consider her my girlfriend, and she was my co-host, and people would call on and make perverted comments. And I was like, you know what? I don't want her to be the co-host anymore. I want her to just be my girlfriend, and then I'll have somebody else be the co-host. So I brought this other girl in to be the co-host. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, you two can fight over who's going to be the co-host. And I said, what you can do is arm wrestle, knowing that the girl that's my girlfriend had no muscle at all, like had no upper body strength, and this other girl was going to beat her arm wrestling easily or whatever. So Holly, who takes over, beats her at arm wrestling. I have them switch spots, and I was like, we'll finish out the show, and then you're not gonna be my co-host anymore. Let's hang out. I can't be like, you're gonna be my girlfriend, because we were keeping that off the air. And then she got really mad at me, and then she started just like yelling at me. And so I went down under my desk and I brought up a monkey puppet that I had that I used for shows. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the show, I just did the rest of the show as the monkey puppet so that she couldn't yell at me. I was just like, whatever. And it was the most awkward, like like after that episode aired, we never played it again.
Yeah.
For a very long time. I had another co-host and we were in the middle of a bit and her mom called in and her mom was rude to me. And I hung up on her. I said, man, your mom's being a bitch. And then the girl got so mad at me, she walked out of the show.
Really?
And then she like came back afterwards to try to apologize. And I was just like, nope, you walked out of the show. Whatever. I'm going to say that we did the show for 7 years. And I think I had 22 co-hosts for the show. So we had 350 episodes, because 52 weeks a year, 7 years, 350 episodes. Yeah, we had about 42, and some of them would be like they were my co-host, and then they would end up being on. Their boyfriend would get mad and didn't want them to be the co-host anymore. That was a common thing, or I date them and then we'd break up and they didn't want to be on the show anymore because they didn't want to be around me. Or they'd move or they'd graduate and one girl just got it. And then one girl ended up getting a job at an actual news company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she had it on her resume that she was on this sucky broadcast.
That was Tonight with Bradman. That was back in the day when it was Tonight with Bradman. Tonight with Bradman. TWB.
What years did that run from?
2002 to 2007. So maybe it was not 7 years. Maybe it's 6 years. But it was a long time. 2002 to 2008. Early 2008 is when it ran. So long time. Good time.
Yeah.
And then we had a tornado and then we became famous. That's what made my career was there was a tornado that went through Iowa City and I was the only person that was live during the time. Yeah, I was the only person that was live. And we also started like uploading our videos because YouTube, Apple had podcasts or had videos that you could upload.
Yeah.
And we were uploading our shows to Apple.
And why did you end the show?
A lot of different reasons. The guy that ran the studio, I found out he was boffing this girl I was dating. And that was one of the things. And I went to jail for public intox. And I got out of jail and I was like, I need a different thing or whatever. I need to do something different with my life. You know, because when I was in Iowa City doing public access, I was drunk all the time because I was drunk and high all the time because everything was always given to me. I never had to pay to go into any bar. Whenever I'd go into any bar, everybody would always want to challenge me to a chugging contest. So I never had to pay for beer because I'm the fastest chugger in the entire world. I'm not anymore. I'm tired.
I don't know. I mean, back in my day, I was a good chugger. We might have to have a chug off.
We could now, but it wouldn't matter. But I had there is a video floating around. I will repost it tonight for you and I'll send you the link. But
okay.
There's a video where I chugged against somebody who'd always wanted to challenge me. I finally challenged him. I beat him. And then I don't have this part, but there on the public access show, I took myself and put the video on twice. I slowed down the second one.
Mm-hmm.
I did that one in slow motion. I did the first one in regular motion. And I was like, me in fast motion and me in slow motion still beat the guy at regular speed.
So,
it was glorious.
You remember that cup stacking game where people would stack the cups and then slap the timer? And it was the whole goal was to stack the cups quick enough in the correct order and then hit the timer and do it really quickly.
Was there drinking involved?
No, it wasn't drinking. It was like...
No, I do not remember that.
Phenomenal. Anyways, so I was real young. Having a birthday party at my cousin's house. My aunt was like, okay, you're going to make one of the games. Help make the games. I said, let's do a mini water bottle chugging contest, knowing damn well I was going to beat everybody.
Right.
I made the game, and then I blew everyone out of the water, and I won the gift card or whatever it was. But
right. You're like, let's play Flippy Cups or Never Have I Ever. Like, somebody's yeah. Like, what? And then I'm just, yeah. So, no, I mean, I feel like I'm an excellent beer pong person. I'm excellent at all beer games. I really am. I was also in high school. I was really into pickleball, so I'm gonna start doing that again because that's a big thing.
Huge
down in Texas. There are places called Pickle and Chicken, which are pickleball places that you can eat chicken. They're like chicken and bar. They're chicken restaurants that are bars that have pickleball. And
it's just over the lifetime in Skokie, where I live, the gym used to have two basketball courts. Now they got rid of one. It's pickleball, and all yeah. You can see is pickle. It's like the new, it's the new America's pastime, I guess. I don't know.
The golf course in Arlington, there's a golf course in Arlington that has country club that you can now join the country club exclusively just to play pickleball. And so I'm like, interesting. I could be a country club member. What's going on with the new pickleball?
And how much? How much?
I don't know. I signed up to get more information. I haven't got it back yet. They probably Googled me and they're like, no.
There's way like, too much on the internet for this guy.
You like this place, man. There'd be a pool here too, like a pond or a pool, you know, stuff like that. Dalai Lama said this thing about you, right? Run, that they would, they'd be like, you're Carl, the groundskeeper. You're not like a regular member of the society. Speaking of which, I got one more sponsor I got to talk about real quick. That this sponsor is a member of regular society. Quilting Cat Crafts is a DFW-based fabric warehouse, an online store specializing in boundless quilting fabrics. They carry new 100% cotton fabric, most priced at $5 per yard. And that's all because of Liz. Liz suffered from depression and anxiety her entire life. Even with medications and great doctors and therapists, it was still a disease that has a stigma that needs to be brought into light. And in 2019, after a series of life events and failing medications, she was stuck in a very low depressed place. And that's when she learned how to sew to give herself something to focus on instead of the constant negative thoughts that had bombarded her depressed mind. So she found this new craft, and quilting and sewing is something where it helps to have the stuff ahead of time. It helps to have the materials built up, or else you're always just going out and buying new fabrics every time you want to make a new project. And that gets hard to pay for once in a while, and it's hard to keep up quilting with the big girls. And quilting kept Liz out of the hospital and alive during this time, so boundless fabrics is what allowed her to afford to build a usable stash of fabrics. So she wanted to make it available and affordable to other people. And she calls it Quilting Pay It Forward. People have already started finding Quilting Cat Crafts online, allowed them to build a stash of fabrics they could otherwise couldn't afford. Send smiles all around. You can learn all about it. Go to their website, quiltingcat.com. And if you're local to DFW, you want to pick up your order, you can do that to save on shipping. And there's one weekend each quarter where there's an open house where people can just go in and shop for stuff. So go check it out. You can find them on Facebook at Quilting Cat Crafts. Apparently, there's a fire going on outside in the DFW, and I don't blame it because it's 106 degrees outside right now, I think, in the DFW. I'll tell you that in a second, too. But, yeah, go check out Quilting Cat. Quilting. Go check them out today. Quiltingcat.com. You can use the coupon code podcast. And you get 10% off. That makes your fabric $4.50 a yard. I just want to let you know that. Quiltingcat.com. Use the coupon code podcast. Send this to somebody if they quilt. You have a aunt or a family member who quilts. I always have aunts that quilt, so that's why I say that. So if you have anybody in your family that quilts, give them this coupon code. Boundless fabric is fantastic. Everybody loves it. Everybody I know who does quilting loves it. It's fantastic. Go check them out. And, you know, be a friend to Liz for me. So, welcome back.
I need someone to make me a quilt. I don't have an aunt that makes quilts.
Well, you need to find somebody. And it's currently, it is 9:13 right now. It is dark outside. What do you think the temperature is in Arlington, Texas?
Are you asking me?
Yes. Okay, it is night.
So it was 108 during the day.
105 during the day.
105. I'm going to go with 84 degrees.
The correct answer is 96.
Ooh, it's still hot.
Yeah, it's still hot. The other day I went out, it was like 9:30, 10 o'clock, 100 degrees still. But for some reason, my body adapted pretty quickly to this. So I'm very happy with that. So
how do you feel, difference-wise, being in the Arlington or the Texas climate compared to Midwest?
Everybody talks about how humid it is here, and I'm like, it isn't humid. I don't know where you get that.
Oh, it's humid as hell in Chicago.
Yeah, I'm like, you guys maybe we got a different level of humidity or whatever. And I guess once in a while it's been humid or whatever, but nothing bad. And I'm like, this is nothing compared to Chicago. Chicago, like when I moved from LA to Chicago, it was like I was breathing soup. When I got to Chicago, it was like I was inhaling soup.
I mean, LA is wonderful weather. I mean, it's a little chilly sometimes. You know, I was down there not too long ago, and it was like a little rainy and chilly, and you know, but it's definitely like it's not muggy out there.
That's what I want to say is in LA, it would be hot all day, and then at night it would get freezing cold. Like you'd be out and you'd be like, I should have brought pants with me because I'm wearing shorts.
Like the desert.
Yeah, like the desert. Here, it's just constantly hot.
Yeah.
It's hot during the day, it's hot at night. And so it's better for me because then I'm not freezing. Then I don't have to be like, oh, I forgot my jacket. Because now I've got to go home. Like I'm driving home and it's 11 o'clock. Yeah,
Chicago. I mean, you know,
yeah.
Give it a couple months, I'm gonna be miserable again. I hate the cold. It's horrible.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think the worst that they have here in DFW area is that they have like black ice for 2 weeks, maybe. Is what they said. They have like a 2 week period where there could and couldn't be black ice. And you're like, okay, I can handle
power,
that.
Didn't the power grid freeze?
Power grid froze a couple years ago. I think they've really worked hard on that to get that back under control. Yes, and the power grid also, though, air conditioning wise, right now, it's bad. I can tell you right now, my electric bill was insane, but I don't care because I keep my apartment at 70 degrees.
Now, lifestyle-wise, between Los Angeles, Chicago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, are you doing the interview now? That's fine. Let's do it.
No.
Uh-oh, you froze on me. What happened?
Hello?
Oh, there he is.
No, I'm curious. You lived in all these different places. I mean, okay. What would you say? Where would – give me your take.
On lifestyle-wise?
Yeah.
Well, I lived in New York City, and that was very active for me because everything was walking distance, or you could hop on the subway and whatever.
Yeah.
So, and I was in good shape because I walked everywhere. I went to LA, and I got a car, and then I kind of got soft and lazy because I drove everywhere. And Chicago, I tried to mix it up and walk and drive everywhere, and here – I desperately try to, like, I walk as much as I can, no matter how hot it is. Like, I walked to the grocery store this morning or this afternoon. And I was like, I'm going to walk to the grocery store and I'm going to walk home. But then when I got to the grocery store, I got a bunch of stuff. And I was like, yeah, I guess I'll lift home. Because it was like, because I realized I had too much stuff to carry, like, a couple. Plus, the girl goes, I'm like, I'm walking home. And the girl goes, oh, do you want paper bags to make it easier? And I thought to myself, yeah, okay, that makes sense. And then she packed them and I was carrying it out. I was like, this isn't easier. These things are going to break. Why was this an easier thing?
Was it paper bags with handles?
Yeah, it was paper bags with handles.
Did they double bag it?
She double bagged it.
So what's the problem?
It still broke.
Really?
It still broke. One of the handles broke or whatever. Yeah, but she did pack everything in. Like I was like, man, you must be good at Tetris. Because I went over there and they were like, this is me. This is me, junk food me. I'm trying to eat healthy and all this stuff. I get over there and I open up I do Tom Thumb, right? Because you guys have Jewel Osco, which is the same thing. And so I open up Tom Thumb. It's called Tom Thumb here, but it's Jewel Osco. Because when I first got there, the signage looks the same. And I go, can I use my Jewel Osco app here? And she's like, yes. And I download Tom Thumb. I'm going to tell you this about Jewel Osco Tom Thumb. This is not an endorsement. This is not paid for by anybody. I always go into Tom Thumb. I use all the digital coupons that they have in there. I shop based on the digital coupons. I go in. The total comes up $75. She scans my barcode. $25.
Really?
Really. Today it was like, you can get $4 for $5 mac and cheese. Cheetos mac and cheese or pastaroni or whatever like that. And I'm like, oh, those are good snacks. Those are easy to make or whatever. Well, then on the bottom it says digital coupon, 69 cents a box. So that was even cheaper. So and it was like limit six. So I got six of those. Like I get coupons and it's like you get free stuff because you got coupons. And there's all these different things. Just all, you know, these things like get a giant Bluebell pint of ice cream for $4 or whatever. Not a pint, gallon of ice cream for $4 or whatever. So just really good items, really good things. So, but I'm sure the Jewel Osco app does that. So you should check it out because I know you like to save money.
I love to save money.
Yeah, this is a very random podcast where we just talked about just a bunch of great stuff, random stuff. So let's wrap it up. So where can people find you, Ethan?
Well, you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Ethan Nagar Real Estate. And if you just Google Ethan Nagar, my Google page and all that other stuff will come up. But socials, I'm mostly on Instagram.
Okay. And also, but you also not only do real estate stuff, because I saw you were making pizzas today for a group. I saw that on your Instagram.
Yeah. So that was for special needs adults.
Okay.
A lot of stuff in the community. On the 27th of this month, I'm hosting a charity drive for personal care items for the local township government. They have a respite center for people in between housing. I like to do a lot of stuff in the community, volunteer at my local realtor association. I'm on the board there now. I'll be president-elect in September. So I do like a lot of stuff in the community too. I'm very involved with my local chamber of commerce. I started a young professionals network there. So, you know, I like to be involved. I like to help out when I can. If there's, you know, like for instance, with the township, you know, I wanted to do a food drive and they said, well, that's not the need we have. We need personal care items. All right, let's do that. I like to, if there's a need, I like to help out and fill it. So
that's awesome. That's awesome. That's what I like about you. Very charitable. You really help people out. So I appreciate that. Very selfless. Wow. You're a good guy.
You know, I'll let you give me that compliment. I appreciate it.
You're good. You're a good guy. Don't let anybody tell you differently. So I wanted you to know that you're a good guy. This music doesn't mean we're leaving. This means I'm just going to start talking some more. So I want to thank you again for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Ethan, I love having you on. People, please check him out. Ethan Nagar Real Estate on Instagram. He's great. I love him. Yeah, pointer right there. So thank you, Ethan. Don't leave. I'm just putting you down on the screen, okay? And that's it for this show. We're done with the show. This has been the Stucky Broadcast. And thank you for, you know, this is, I think, our 11th episode of the new format, the new season, the new everything. I just want to thank all of my sponsors from all the different Brass Tap locations to the Quilting Cat to McKinney Black Car. All of you guys have just been great and really just helped me out. And also, listen, if you want to be a sponsor on the show, message me. Message me, send me an email, send me a tweet, send me an Instagram post. However you want to get a hold of me, you can message me any way you want. And thank you for making this sucky broadcast less sucky than it could be. I'll be back next week with another show. Until then, goodbye, everybody.
You've been listening to This Sucky Broadcast. Learn more at thissuckybroadcast.com.